Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 347. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing really good, Kevin. How about yourself as you're getting back into the swing of things after your WrestleMania weekend adventure?
Yeah, it was a little too much to ask to try and do the usual blog yesterday. After I wish I had had Jeremy's flight plans, which left 2.5 hours before mine. That might have made a post a possibility, but settling back in and getting things in order was more important. But back at it, it's kind of funny. Raw isn't, despite the fact that I watched half of it today, it is not very fresh in my memory.
Well, all right. Well, I guess that's what I'll be here for.
But it was as I did fish for a report to go off of. I did. Not that I was surprised, but I did kind of forget about Apollo Crews' debut.
Yeah, that came very much out of nowhere to me. I heard nothing, no indications that he was being brought up. I mean, obviously, there's no real, other than maybe his promo skills, there's no real reason for him to be in developmental. I mean, he's a great athlete. He looks like $1 million. So I guess, you know, you probably should have figured that the first time Vince got a good look at him, that it was going to be, you know, we need this guy on the main roster quickly.
Yeah, and he definitely, the one thing about him is he has the size to, I guess I'd have to check here, what they bill him as weight wise. But, I would say that he is, a bit thicker than, Finn Balor, just as an example.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Of course. Yeah.
So, I'm not, so I think that would be more appealing to, Vince. They certainly feel like they're missing out on, because I'm not sure how long Neville's supposed to be out, but, you know, they seem, even though Neville didn't really go anywhere, he did always seem to have something to do, or right. At least they were running him out there to, you know, lose. So, I mean, they kind of, I feel like maybe they want that spot on the roster. And Crews is definitely a guy that can deliver that type of performance.
For performance perspective, I agree, but I think they've got much bigger plans for Apollo Crews than they ever had for Neville.
Yeah, because I've got to admit, even though I have caught this whole stretch of NXT up until WrestleMania, I did not see that much of Apollo Crews. I mean, his push came before and losing to Balor in London.
Yeah, he lost to Balor weeks before in London, and then they faced off again. So they faced off a couple of times.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess I saw his promo when he got the rematch recently against Balor, non-title. But I still haven't seen too much of his talking one way or the other. And I guess just in general, it would be hard to judge a lot of the NXT people because they do tend to keep them on a shorter leash, I would say, than the main roster.
Right, yeah, definitely. But yeah, Crews has been, I guess you could say Crews has been treading water in NXT. Last couple of months, few months since they've been focus has been on with Balor and Joe. So, yeah, Crews really wasn't doing much. if they never had, now, not just looking to me, is I kind of thought that when Finn Balor was ready to go up to the main roster, that Apollo Crews might be the next person to take over the as the standard, the flag bearer for the brand for, you know, the year or so, or however long they decided to keep the title on him and have him be the focus. But no, that's not what's happening at all. No, no.
Yeah, and standing at 6 foot one, 240. So
that's a good size. That's
yeah. Be. And yeah. Oh, I was gonna say I do agree with you that I do. His look is better than Neville's.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You know, the athletic ability is obviously there, but Cruz, well, he's everything they could want in an athlete, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. He's the total package, and yeah, he should go far.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing about that win is that it was really definitive. Like, they kind of mentioned that they were billing him as the whole package, and he did really get to show off his agility and his power. Like, I don't feel like the squash matches I watched in NXT were even quite that well set up for right, him yeah, to yeah, really yeah. show off.
Yeah, yeah. Tyler Breeze was a good opponent for him. Now, Tyler Breeze, there's someone who obviously, you know, Vince himself sees nothing in, so he's a glorified jobber, and well, in that sense, he did his job well. He made Apollo Crews look great, and yeah, Crews is off of the races here.
Yeah, so I guess that was kind of interesting. Just not that long ago, another debut happened. Which was Enzo and Cass popping in after the tables match.
Yeah, they debuted. Sans Carmella, she's not being. It looks like she's going to be part of the act here, which I don't really get. Oh. I can just look at her and think that she's not. She's probably one of those girls, maybe I'm wrong, but she appears to be one of those girls that is never going to fully get the in-ring, you know, part to be, you know, to be in the mix, to be in the top mix there.
Uh-huh.
I mean, she'll be fine. She'll be fine in mixed tags and in short bursts, but yeah, there's no reason not to have her part of this act. I don't think that, you know, any much more time in NXT is going to be a big help to her in the ring. She'd be better off with it. Yeah, going with Enzo and Gas.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that too. Just from you know what I've seen, I'm not sure how long she's been down there. But if it's been a while, you know, like you said, she's passable, but not much more than that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's kind of interesting that they would do that, really.
Right, but, you know, obviously, Enzo's mic skills and charisma are what's going to carry this team. He was fired up and ready for this, and he delivered a fiery promo, established who they are and what they're about. Big Cass just stood there and
looked big.
Set his and, which is the most impressive thing he does.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy for a 7 foot tall guy to look big.
Especially standing next to Enzo Amore. So, yeah, as a team, they complement each other well. They're complete opposites. In this case, it absolutely works that they are complete opposites.
Right. Yeah, I just wish they had a different ending move. It always seems a little silly to me. Especially since Enzo always seems to be, like, out of it by the time he gets to be part of the rocket launcher.
Right.
If he was fresh, I'd at least go with it a little bit more. Yeah, it was. I guess it was kind of interesting. Dudley's kind of. While they took two of three from the Usos, I'm not sure that that's really going to help them out in the long run. But what else? Oh, I guess I was going to get around to just the tag team division in general. Because what other. I felt like there was another tag team that showed up, and I know that the Puerto Ricans showed up too.
Yeah. Unbelievable. All of these debuts this week, and the only people who and they and the only vignette you see all week that help introduce anybody is to repackage the Puerto Ricans again. The colognes again.
Yeah, I suppose I don't mind it, 'cause I've never thought that they were bad wrestlers.
No, but at this point, really, when they signed the Lucha, well, I guess the Lucha Dragons aren't just teaming up as much, but when they signed the Lucha Dragons, it just didn't seem that they have much of a point. And I hope that doesn't sound insensitive at all, but it just the Lucha Dragons just do everything the Colognes do better.
Yeah, and I just didn't think that that was the best way to introduce anybody, to be completely honest with you.
No, I think I'll agree with the.
Them
Go ahead.
smelling the flowers, like, really? Like, you guys had all this time away, and you didn't go, no, man, this sounds like a terrible idea. I'm glad that we're gonna, and I mean, I have no problems with them representing Puerto Rico. Especially since they're not matadors in Puerto Rico.
Right. Yeah, if they're gonna come back, I mean, fine. I just don't believe that they're anything special. And on a week when, I guess, between WrestleMania and SmackDown, four new acts are debuting. They're the ones who get the vignette time. Because I think the one thing I will agree with Vince Russo on, and things he's been saying lately, is when Steve Austin drags him out from the Rockies living under, is they just have these NXT people just show up. And the hardcore fans in the crowd pop huge, but three quarters of the audience at home is just probably scratching their heads because they don't do any setup.
Yeah, I mean, they got a good reaction last night, and now I'm trying to think of the other tag team, but yeah, they really could. Oh, that's what it was. I completely fucked things up. Yeah, they do need to do more of just the actual introduction. Like, oh, that's what I was gonna say, is the crowd kind of lent itself to a good exposure to start with.
Yeah.
But they really should do more build up. Like, Sasha still hasn't had that much developed about her, with her gimmick. Like, they've mentioned it, but she hasn't really gotten to demonstrate it in front of the WWE audience that much.
No. Yes, yeah. Well, I mean, it's worked out for the girls. It's should we just trans? Should we just transition to the women now?
Well, if you want to, sure.
Sure, because I actually have a big point I want to make. But we'll go through that. Well, let's start with the Charlotte segment and the first the true moment of the night where the crowd tried to hijack the segment. I understand the crowd's passion, but honestly, I believe that the best thing to happen was for Bayley to not debut last night. Yes, she would have gotten a huge reaction, but once again, it's that whole thing of, okay, this person shows up, the crowd goes nuts, three quarters of the people sitting at home have no clue who she is. Bayley is a character that needs to be She needs a story. You need the full effect of it. Now, you won't have the 2 or 3 years they took in NXT, you know, carefully, you know, setting up who she is. But, you know, she needs to show up and, you know, do her doe-eyed thing. Oh, my God, I'm so glad to be here. Oh, my God. I'm on Monday Night Raw. Let me go over and hug this person, hug that person, go over and hug JBL while he says, what the? Get her away from me. You know, go through the roster and, you know, beat Emma, beat Summer Rae. Basically, her journey to the title, even in NXT, her journey to the title was more interesting than her, not that her title reign was bad, but her journey to the title was the best part of her run in NXT. She's a character that you need to take on the journey.
I agree. Cause she's just, and I mean, she's an excellent wrestler. But like you said, she was just kind of flat when she was champion.
I mean, she was a good champion, but when you're rooting for her, well, when the character peaked, I mean, she peaked that night in Brooklyn. I mean, and she's good. She's always good, but once again,
right?
You know, you really want to, you know, build up the, you know, her standing face to face with the champion should not be the first thing she does her first night in. But let's have her debut and, you know, over the summer and build to that, you know, to WrestleMania next year. Because also a part of her character is, you know, whoever the, you know, heel women's champion is, whether it be Charlotte or Sasha, you know, goes back to being a full heel, you know, they need to bully her. She needs a character that needs to be bullied as well. You know, she needs to have a bully, you know, for her childish character and her to get the kids around her. Just my thing about how, you know, people are upset Bayley didn't make her debut, but I'm like, you know, and I had time to think about it. You know what? It was the best thing for her to do.
Yeah, I guess I hadn't ever broken down her character quite that way. But I will admit to, I saw a lot of the build up just because I have caught a decent chunk of NXT over the past year, but not as consistent as I have recently.
Right.
So
and I've been watching NXT since I could sneak free trials on Hoop. On Hulu before there even was a network, so.
It was one of those things that, and Jeremy pointed this out to me, the people chant for This Is Women's Wrestling, but then they basically hijack the segment. It's just like, well, if you liked women's wrestling, you wouldn't hijack the segment.
Yeah, right. That was the one part of the that was when the crowd jumped the shark to me. You know, I have a love hate, but mostly hate relationship with that post WrestleMania Raw crowd. It's not something on my bucket list to ever attend. I guess maybe if I do, I do, but I think I might be more annoyed than, you know, in there with them. But yeah, and then. I know I didn't particularly like the way that segment ended. I'm not a big Natalya fan, so it was kind of like bug for me. But then also just they've had 2 matches in the last month, and Charlotte won pretty handily. So it's like, why does she get to be the next? Not that you have the same 3 girls wrestling each other every week in and week out either. So. I guess she's the next, literally the next best thing.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's good. Maybe going back to the building people up, and in general, just you were talking about more with Bayley, but going back to Sasha Banks, they did at least help her along a little bit this week. Since she got a single, she was the only other woman. Well, she was the only woman to get a match,
right? Yeah.
Well, unless you count her opponent Summer Rae, I suppose.
Well, yeah. Only woman to get a match, she won. Yes, And she, once again, it was, you know, it was a glorified squash, which the women don't really get glorified squashes too much. So that was a pretty dominant win for Sasha. I mean, obviously she's still in the mix, and you know, I'm sure her and Becky will get their shots and get their chances with the title. But it's not too big of a deal. But to me, Natalya also is, she's been around for a long time now.
Oh.
And her character has not evolved at all. She's still just, I'm a hark. You know, her character, her look, nothing has evolved with her. The right. Bellas have evolved more than she has. Alicia Fox has probably, I could say, has evolved more than she has.
Yes. So, yeah, I mean, I guess, again, I'm in the same boat as you. Like, it's just kind of, okay, like, they're going to have good matches, but
yeah.
She didn't say anything that basically said, oh, I'm just, you know, it's just like, I'm a heart. That's the reason I should get a title match. It's just like,
I'm a heart, and I don't like, and my uncle doesn't like your daddy. You know.
Yep. Not exactly a reason to, excuse me, to get excited about this feud. Or really any development of Natalya at all.
Right. It'll be a match on a show whenever they get around to doing it, whether it's a Payback on May 1st, I think, or whatever, what have you. It'll just be a match on a show. It'll be fine.
Right.
Nothing that I can say as a fan that I can sink my teeth into too much either.
Yeah. So yeah, there were not any women that debuted. I did like that they focused a little bit on Becky and Sasha after just during that segment too.
Yeah. But I wish it would have been. I kind of wish it would have been one of them to speak up, but I guess you can put that on hold for a little while and not have two of them against Charlotte again.
Yeah, or get a clear-cut winner between the two of them to go against Charlotte if they decide to go that route.
You could do Charlotte. You could do Sasha versus Becky again. Yeah, you could definitely do that.
So, I don't think there is anything else. I mean, is there anything else about that? I guess we could talk about, because Jeremy and I didn't do too much of it, talking about the change to the women's title, the WWE Women's World title.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool. I mean, it's a nice looking belt. You know, it's, you know, the retiring of the divas, the term divas, although I wonder if somebody consults the E! Network about that. and then, you know, this women are now, they're now superstars. Everyone's a superstar. They're all on equal footing. I know is it a little bit of, you know, women's rights pandering when maybe the change, things haven't completely changed. Yeah, but, you know, things have changed enough, and it's a welcome change.
Yeah, I don't know, even if it is a little bit of pandering, I feel like I've been fine with changing it from the Divas division for a long time at this juncture.
Yeah, the Divas, it kind of takes something negative and, you know, of an old way of thinking that never didn't really work that well to begin with. Especially after they stopped, you know, selling, you know, swimsuit calendars and video and DVDs and stopped doing the annual, you know, Playboy shoot. You know, it really, really had no purpose after that to have them be divas.
Right.
You know, they were, you know, divas, dressing fairly conservatively while having crappy matches, you know. But now that they've got women who can go, it's, you know, it's good to have the women's championship.
Yeah. So it's a nice it's a nice change, but yeah, I don't think it's going to be a seismic change either. They need to really work on the depth, I guess. Like,
yeah,
they have the women to do it. Even the people that are up there now without Bayley, they can at least get the job done to have a decent pool of talent there.
Yeah. They definitely can. I mean, there's a lot of work to be done, but I mean, they gave them at WrestleMania. They gave them a lot of time. They gave them the fourth and the top billing. They even included them in the opening video.
And on AT&T Stadium.
Yeah, that was huge. That's a pretty dang big deal that they did that for that match. So again, you know, things are moving in the right direction. They've got the talent to do it. Yeah, I nothing to really complain about. Things are going well there.
So what the heck else?
Guess we should move on to the biggest news of all, that there's a new number one contender, and I don't think anyone really saw it coming.
That's probably the better news to move on to. I forgot about the other news that may involve a diva also. or a former diva.
Oh, that Brie Bella's wrestled her last match?
I would have to say that Maryse is making a TV comeback.
It looks like this is gonna be a permanent thing. Which, I mean, that's good. If you're gonna go with the Miz, I mean, there's no better way for him to generate heat than to show off his perfect 10 of a wife every single week. I mean, that will get humongous heat.
His character has been so bland for so long. I was like, oh my gosh, like, this actually might work for him, or at least, you know, get him somewhere. I don't think he's ever gonna get back to main event status.
Right, yeah. This is something good for him. I don't know why they haven't been thinking of it years ago. I guess she was fighting the urge to come back for as long as she could. But I mean, I obviously didn't see her in any movies, in any print ads, anything of note in her time away. So I guess her return might have been inevitable.
I really hadn't thought about it, because I know that every now and again I'm like, oh yeah, he's still married to Maryse, and is hot as I thought she was the first time around. As soon as she was gone, I wasn't worried either.
Right, but no, she was always a good performer. I had nothing against Maryse, and two of them, you know, obviously there's a real chemistry there, so it should, you know, that should jump off the page and once again be good at getting heat for Miz. And yeah, even I like it. I mean, I feel a little bad for Zack Ryder though. Hopefully he doesn't have to go back down to the armories in Florida with Mojo Rawley after this week.
Yeah, because and I guess you were talking about the other spectrum of that, because with AJ Styles, who goes from both Jeremy and I going, oh wow, we were really wrong about that match, but Zack Ryder, we were also really wrong about that match.
Well, no, Jeremy called it. I actually listened. Jeremy called that Zack Ryder would lose the Intercontinental title the next night on Raw.
Oh well, yeah, he did predict that. We did not predict Zack Ryder winning.
No one did. I'm glad I didn't bet any money on that show. Other than Reigns and Triple H, I would have gotten every match wrong.
Yeah, I was like, wow, we did really horribly here. Yeah, so there was, I guess there is, I felt bad, a little bit bad for Ryder in some ways. Like, I mean, it's obviously awesome to have that WrestleMania moment,
Yeah.
but I guess I just think that he still deserves at least a little bit better than what he's been given ever since really getting the WWE up and running, or WWE Network up and running on his own.
Right, yeah, he, I guess, maybe never a favorite of mine, but he had something and still does, and it was a good, it was a cool moment. I mean, when he was talking about, being 10 years old, getting a picture with Razor Ramon, and then now I'm gonna go get, and that picture is out there on Instagram, but my God, what a story, what a cool moment, it just, and I'm sure it'll live with him forever, but. Yeah, he could have had more of a run. He could have taken it to the pay-per-view.
Yeah, I mean, it was inevitable that he wasn't gonna have a long run, but I would have been happy for him to get more than a 24-hour run with it.
Yeah, but no, but no, it is what it is, and the. This new Miz Maurice pairing certainly has potential, although they're having a rematch on SmackDown, which is being taped as we speak, so who knows?
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, that was the other thing that I hadn't thought of before we get to AJ Styles. As I'm looking at the review, Jeremy, I must have missed the hype for the Vaudevillains appearing on SmackDown.
Yeah, they're going to be on SmackDown this week, yep.
So that was one where I'm like, oh my gosh! So they introduce Enzo and Cass. They have, because what the, who is the other tag team?
Don't think there's another tag team.
Oh, the Puerto Ricans.
Yeah.
And then they add the Vaudevillains. I'm like, man, that's three tag teams, but it wasn't, well, it wasn't on Raw. So that's what I was thinking of, the about the Vaudevillains was the third team.
Right, yeah.
Since we didn't actually see them, we will just get around to 'cause AJ Styles, as opposed to Zack Ryder, who won at WrestleMania and then lost the next night, AJ Styles lost at WrestleMania and then won the next night.
Yes, he did. Yeah. Big night, big moment for him. Not sure exactly where it's gonna go. I mean, this was a Shane, it was a Shane McMahon decision, and apparently, supposedly Shane's gonna be out of, not gonna return as for next week's show, and the Authority's back in power, and technically Triple H does have a guaranteed rematch. So, not 100% sure exactly where this is going. If they really are going to go with Roman Reigns, and if Triple H is done wrestling for now, and they are going to go with Roman Reigns and AJ Styles one on one at Payback, definitely an interesting match for sure.
Yeah, I would enjoy it. Like, when Jeremy and I, well, when Jeremy wasn't falling asleep when we were talking about the Triple H Roman Reigns match, we talked about how both of those guys, I feel like Reigns has had some good to great matches.
Yeah, he absolutely has.
But like Triple H, he kind of needs somebody on the other end of things who's better than him. And AJ Styles could certainly provide that for Roman Reigns.
Oh, yeah.
I would, it would be really strange to see AJ Styles win unless he cuts his hair and goes corporate.
Yeah, there's, yeah, the only way he wins is, he wins, and then Roman Reigns just absolutely destroys him afterward and goes full heel. Otherwise, it's probably gonna be a really good to great match. You know, tough, you know, close match, but in the end, you know, AJ Styles eats a spear and gets pinned. But yeah, that's why they have the matches. I'm not exactly sure. I never would have thought that they were gonna go in this direction to begin with. So.
Yeah, it was quite a surprise, like, because it was a surprise that Styles lost, honestly. Just because it's like, well, why'd you bring him in, almost? But it, in some ways, at least in light after Raw, it's kind of like Seth Rollins losing to Randy Orton and then cashing in later that night.
Right, yeah. Yeah, in the end, he lost nothing, and at least Jericho isn't. You know, Jericho isn't Jobber Jericho on this run, thankfully. Where beating him means nothing.
Yeah, it could benefit him in the long run here.
Yeah,
so.
It doesn't appear that Jericho's going anywhere. I think he's going to do a few music festivals in between, but I know he's booked on the Japan tour in the summer. All the way to then to be for WWE for wrestling him for matches. So it looks like he's going to be around for a while.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be fine. He's been doing better work as a heel, and he's still a good enough wrestler.
Absolutely. There's enough left in the tank, and there's plenty they can do with him having him around, and they could. The roster definitely can use a veteran hand.
And there wasn't anything else.
Actually, I think in Tokyo they're doing July. Which might end up in that network special again. They did it last year. That they're doing Jericho versus Nakamura.
Oh,
that could be very good.
He was quite an enjoyable part of the weekend.
Yes, yeah, for me too. Yeah.
You know what? I'd have to say that was the best match of the weekend. And then the ladies' triple threat, I might argue, would be the second best match that I watched all weekend.
From my perspective at home, I do agree with you. Yeah.
So.
I guess we can all go from there to the. Unless you had a thought. But no, I was going to think that maybe the biggest disappointment of the weekend that it stretched all the way to Monday was, I would say, Mr. Dean Ambrose. I think the match disappointed, and then he was beaten decisively, and then they had nothing for him on Raw.
That was kind of interesting. I guess I thought he was going to be given a little bit longer of a match against Lesnar than he was.
Longer, I thought it was going to be more brutal. I think that, you know, why even tease the barbed wire bat if it was never actually going to be used? You know, I think they overpromised on this one and definitely underdelivered. And in the end, they decided that, you know, they weren't going to sacrifice Brock Lesnar for Dean Ambrose.
Well, and I wasn't really surprised by the outcome part. I was more surprised by the decisiveness of the outcome part.
Yeah. You know, one F5, yes, on chairs, but he didn't, you know, kick out of one on the mat. You know, match could have been longer. They could have done more brutal spots. And granted, although obviously nothing they were going to do was going to match what Shane was going to do later, but you know, but they could have given them quite a bit more. And I mean, in the end, I don't think it helped Ambrose at all. Another big loss. you can only be the guy so many times.
Yeah, a lot of the other guys on the roster, but I'm not sure. Oh, and we can talk about him too. There aren't a lot of heels that Dean Ambrose can bounce back on.
No, they're not, because he's wrestled most of them. He's faced most all of them already. He's had plenty of matches with Bray Wyatt. He's had plenty of matches with Kevin Owens. Yeah, there's nothing really new you can do with him.
Yeah, he's kind of stuck. So it'll be kind of interesting. Like, I didn't think about him not being on, but that was kind of, in hindsight now, it's quite interesting that he did not get a spot. But one of the more interesting things of the weekend that we haven't covered, and he also got to debut on Raw this week, was Baron Corbin.
Yeah, Baron Corbin. He'd been in NXT down in Orlando for 3 years, which I actually didn't even know that he'd been on there that long. I've never been watching Breaking Ground. He was never going to be the best guy out of NXT, but you know he is. He'd improved, you know, quite a bit. I don't think he was going to learn any more in NXT, so it's. I guess it was time to just put him up on the main roster and see what he's got.
Yeah, and I mean it helps that he's a big guy, so he can win the Battle Royal. Definitely more of a prototypical Vince McMahon-sized guy.
He was a project, and who was earmarked for a good roster spot pretty much from the start when they signed him out of football. So yeah, I got nothing bad to say about his performance at all. He actually, I think, ended up wrestling the most of anyone that weekend because he he was on TakeOver, he was on WrestleMania, and then he wrestled on Raw.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
And I found it pretty interesting that he beat Dolph Ziggler, not because he beat Dolph Ziggler, but I thought that Dolph Ziggler was a guy that you could use a little further down the line for Baron Corbin. I felt like you could use somebody else to beat him in his first match and have Ziggler be a short-term feud to prove that the new guy isn't a fluke.
Yeah, I can still see this ending up a feud that they get one match out of. I mean, obviously, Corbin is. Until he, things don't work out and he falls out of favor, I could see him going on. Well, I guess technically he already lost by a double count out, but going on at least a streak of not.
Oh,
being...
you know what? I did forget about that. It was a double count out, wasn't it? I mean, he really kicked Ziggler's ass, but it was a double count out.
Yeah, it was a double count out. I mean, which I guess got him over as a monster, as a badass, as someone who just cares more about hurting people than winning, which is fine, which is a good spot for a guy like that.
Right, and I guess Ziggler can be someone that can extend that feud a little bit more. Again, it's kind of interesting when you don't write the column. I don't remember as well. That helps with the old noodle. Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see how he ends up faring. Just because, and we've mentioned it, a lot of the NXT guys haven't fared that well. So, I mean, this is kind of the next wave of NXT guys coming up. Because I would imagine that pretty much anyone that didn't make their debut either yesterday or today on SmackDown. I would think that a lot of those guys are staying down, at least for the time being, for a few months.
Yeah, absolutely. And NXT as a brand right now, I don't know if it's ready to survive life without Finn Balor and Bayley at the very least. So you definitely need to put in some work there to make sure that, you know, as the brand is still strong as the roster as there's roster turnover.
Yeah, so I guess that part is pretty interesting. I was kind of surprised, of all people. You know, I could have seen Samoa Joe taking Baron Corbin's place. I kind of expected after his loss that he might be the one who was moving on along.
Yeah, I think that they'll probably bring in Joe, but no. But once again, you know, Corbin is he's more of what they're looking for. He's younger. Yeah, it was a good way to debut Baron Corbin. I mean, it could have worked with Joe, but for what they're looking for in Corbin long term, it was good for what he did.
Yeah, before he loses the rest of his hairline, they need to get some mileage out of him.
Yep.
I don't know. Was there anything else on Raw? Like, I feel like, because, you know, that still is the other thing about the Raw after. I feel like there's a lot more noteworthy stuff, but it's also a show that tends to coast on along.
Yeah. They, you know, they worked a number of, you know, basically glorified squash matches throughout the show, because yeah, they had a lively crowd. They're going to have a lively crowd no matter what they did. So they didn't necessarily have to, you know, come out guns blazing.
No.
They were able to, you know, introduce some new characters, set up a, you know, a new number one contender, set up at least a couple of new feuds, and there we go.
Yeah, I mean, it really was, for post-WrestleMania, really, they got a lot done.
Yeah, they did get a lot done. Yeah, they got quite a bit done. Yeah, it's always an interesting show. You know, it's a good, you know, there are segments that the crowd helps, there are segments the crowd hurts. Yeah, it's an interesting case study sometimes in the wrestling fan by watching the post WrestleMania Raw.
Yes, it is. It's always interesting just watching the WWE crowd in general.
Yep.
Oh man. Well, I don't really have anything else to cover, because I didn't go to any indie shows. I have not gotten a chance to watch a Ring of Honor. And I don't feel like it's kind of funny. I'm sitting here with not all that much time left and no real need to talk about Roman Reigns. Like, I don't have a problem, and I've made it pretty clear that I don't have the problem that most of the fans in general have with him.
No, I don't either.
Is so.
But his what at the same time, his weaknesses were certainly on display this, especially when it came to WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean his weaknesses in the ring that are only covered up when he's in there with a better performer. He's not the most charismatic guy in the world, and they, oh man, I mean, just now that they've taken his crowd entrance, he needs to find a thing or something to do, you know, some kind of a gesture or something to do as he's coming out of the ring, because man, he really doesn't show off any charisma with his his new walk from outside, from out the curtain.
Yeah, agreed. It's it'll be interesting to see what they do with him.
Right.
So, but yeah, I mean, that's really all the need I feel to talk about him. Like, it's more interesting that AJ Styles was was put in as his challenger than it was, you know, him being the champion. I mean, it really was the one thing that seemed predictable that did happen at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Or one of the few things, I should say.
It was predictable, and now they need to, if he's going to be a champion, that they need to surround with great opponents. You know, and I guess it's going to be, you know, babyface or heel. Because obviously, in most of the cities they're going to go to, especially for these pay-per-views, the crowd is probably going to be majority against them, so.
Right. Okay. Well, I mean, we may as well wrap it up. I mean, unless you have something else to add.
No. I think we can put this one to bed.
Okie doke. Well, I guess a couple of beer notes. Stunt Granny release of Irish Whip, the new version of the Irish Red Ale, this Friday. So there's that. Sippy Time beer actually, we're going to call them Bell Time beers now to go with our new wrestling theme for all of our wrestling logo. Rivertown, which is a fantastic brewery in Cincinnati. Roebling, which is their Imperial Porter. It has vanilla and espresso in it. And I'll tell you what, it's one of many beers that have helped me appreciate the taste of coffee. Coffee couldn't do it, but beer did the trick.
Nice.
So, yeah, that's the Belltime beer for this week. So, I don't have anything else. This is DeFrango 11. That is at Chris Calamita. The brand is at Stunt Granny. You have a good night.
Later.